Can we check whether we have a quorum, please, Secretary?
Hi, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members, and everyone on the platform. We do cooperate, Chair. We can proceed with the roll call, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Recording in progress.
No problem. Chair, Mr. Mumbiani?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present. Thank you.
Good morning.
Mr. Malamakia?
Good morning. Good morning, Chair, and everybody.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Burns Namashi, Chair.
Molo Slalo Nendlanganiso and the corner.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Mulder, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, all. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Ms. Mutahun, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Kaffis, Chair.
Morning, Chairperson.
Good morning.
Ms. Yaku, Chair.
Morning, Chair. Morning to the committee.
Good morning.
Chair, those are the members currently on the platform. I will assume there's an apology, and also members may still have connectivity challenges. And if they do come onto the platform, I will inform you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Can we have the agenda, please? So there we have the agenda, opening and welcome, apologies, adoption of the agenda, briefing by the DTIC on the 2020-21 annual incentive report, close and then closing remarks, and I think the last item is closure. So you are all welcome to this meeting as we look at this very important and critical report of the incentive schemes, because it is critical to this committee's mandate, as it is, it forms the largest part, I think 54% of the DTIC's budget, and it is one of the key tools to facilitate economic growth and job creation. So you are welcome. Can I check with the Secretary on apologies?
Chair, just to inform you that Ms. Mwatsian, the thing, has joined the platform, and we still have the apology from Mr. McPherson, Chair.
Thank you. Now, can I have a movement seconder for the adoption of the agenda?
Chair, Ms. Mwatsian, raise the hand, Chair.
Ms. Mwatsian, Honorable Mwatsian, and Honorable Motaung.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. I'm present. I'm struggling by network, and then I move for adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. I hope you'll be able to stay with us throughout the meeting and that your network improves. Honorable Motaung.
Thanks, Chair. I second the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. The agenda is duly adopted.
Chair?
Yes.
Just Mr. McPherson, my apologies, Chair. Mr. McPherson joined the platform, Chair. So he's
okay. Thank you very much. And I also see the hand of Honorable Mulder. Honorable Mulder.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to ask something for clarity purpose. Is there a specific reason why documents like we've received last night has only been sent late in the evening, the day before the committee? Isn't there anyway a chance that we could receive them a bit earlier to study them properly? It's just a request. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, and I think that's a very reasonable request, especially a document that is the size of this annual report. It's a huge document. Can I just check with the secretariat? With the committee secretary, whether there was a reason why the document was circulated last night only.
Chair, we received a document late last night, Chair, and hence it was only distributed last night, Chair.
Okay. I think we must just ask the department, especially with these large documents, to ensure credible oversight that we receive it a bit earlier. Honourable Motaung, is that a legacy hand? Yes, I see it's gone. So, Honourable Mulder, we take cognizance of what you are saying, and we will try and request from the department that large documents at least be sent with enough time for you to go through it as a committee member.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Then it's the next agenda item, which is the DTIC. Can we then just check from the secretary who is presenting on behalf of the department?
Chair, Ms. Susan Mongoli will lead a delegation, Chair, and she has a team with her which she will introduce, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Over to you. Over to the department.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members of Parliament. My name is Susan Mongole. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General of the Industrial Financing Branch. Firstly, Chairperson, let me apologize for submitting the presentation and the documents late from the department. We have an apology from our DG who's actually attending other commitments. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the committee for giving us the chance to come and share with you the annual incentive report of 2020-2021, given the challenges that the country has faced with regard to COVID. With me in the platform, Chair, I have the senior management, I have the COO of the department, Mrs. Nondombi Madomela, that the committee knows her very well. I also have the parliamentary support team, Tulufelo Mushi, who will be sharing the presentation for us. We also have Saroj Naidu, who assists us. From the branch, Chair, I'm accompanied by the chief directors within the branch. The first one is Mrs. Reika Jiwan, who deals with the manufacturing incentive. The second one is also Ms. Vasha Naidu, who's responsible for putting together the monitoring and evaluation of industrial financing branch, also as some of the support that we provide. We also have Ms. Sharin Osman, who's responsible for product development within the industrial financing branch. Other chief directors that have been invited, they will be joining. Also with us, Chair, is our chief financial officer, Mr. Shabir Khan, who's assisting us in terms of dispersing the funds that we are allocated. Like the Chair has actually indicated to say that the branch administer up to 60% of the department's budget. So look, can we start with the presentation? So Chair, we are presenting this report. I think the last time we were in Parliament sharing this report, it was physical, it was prior to COVID. So we are presenting it at the time where the country has faced various challenges. So what we're going to be sharing with the committee is in terms of how the various incentive programs have performed, as well as the disbursement that have been made, the jobs that have been supported across various incentives. Also, to emphasize, Chair, is also how do we reach out to companies and also enterprises in the rural area. The next slide, Tsun. In terms of the contents, it will be how the branch is structured, the background in terms of the industrial financing branch, the incentive clusters, how we have clusters, various incentives, then the performance overview for 2020-2021, which include the approvals that would have been made during that period, as well as the disbursement for the period. The next slide. The industrial financing branch is the is one of the customer facing branch of the department. The main purpose of the branch is to grow sustainable competitive enterprises which support national priorities through accessible industrial financing. This support is actually provided as grant, tax allowance, as well as the loan, which we administer in partnership with IDC and NEF. One of the key objectives is to build partnerships to increase financing to accelerate growth of the manufacturing and internationally traded services. The next slide. Chair, we are a customer-facing branch. Over and above the Batupele principle, the branch has set out the divisional service charter, which we actually, as the staff within the branch, are committing. We are committing to treat customers trustfully, honestly, ethically, and professionally, caring for our investors, entrepreneurs, customers, communities, nation, and environment, being accountable and taking full responsibility of our actions, embracing operational excellence. So those are our divisional service charter over and above the Batupele principle. The next slide. Within industrial financing, we have various incentives. The first cluster is the manufacturing investment cluster, where we have the program such as the Black Industrialist Scheme, the 12i tax allowance. We're still administering and monitoring the projects that have been approved, the Automotive Investment Scheme, the Agro-Processing Support Scheme, Aquaculture Development and Enhancement Program, Strategic Partnership Program, Manufacturing Competitiveness Enhancement Program, which is currently administered as a loan component. The next cluster is the Infrastructure Investment Cluster. Under the Infrastructure Investment, we do support the special economic zones with top structure when they attract investors. There is also the Critical Infrastructure Program, as well as the Industrial Park. These programs are the programs that we use to support the economic infrastructure in the rural areas to unlock economic activities. The other cluster that we have is the Innovation Investment Cluster. As a country, we need to innovate, be able to assist entrepreneurs that are bringing new ways of doing things, also that are bringing products that replace imported goods. Under this program, we have the Technology Human and Human Resource for Industry Program. We have the Support Program for Industrial Innovation. Then we also have another cluster which deals with the services investment. I think this one is where we actually support the global business services and the film and TV production incentive. Then the fifth one, we have the competitive investment cluster. That's where we administer the export marketing and investment assistance, as well as the capital program feasibility program. The next slide. Chair, for the year 2020-2021, like I've indicated when we started, it's been a year of challenges, but as a branch, we were able to actually adapt, which also include implementing a new way of doing things. Technically, what we do is that when we receive an application, we send due diligence, we send inspectors to go and check. When we receive a claim, we do send the officials to go and verify that the project actually exists. With COVID and the levels of COVID that the country was facing, we had to then adapt to using electronic way of verifying some of the project over and above the physical inspection. So for the year 2020-2021, we have approved 216 projects, of which 142 have been approved for grant of 4.6 billion, and then 65 have been approved under the loan component for 612 million. And then the tax allowance, we've approved 9 projects to the value of 3.5 billion. All these projects total to about 8.8 billion and will actually is projecting to support an investment of 27.9 billion. The new jobs that are projected by this project is 18,330, and the jobs that will be retained by this approved project is over 22,000. The next slide. Of the approval, we have approved 6 projects under the Special Economic Zone and the Industrial Parks, 196 of the enterprises, 5 are owned by trust, 60 are owned by publicly listed enterprise, 131 are owned by private enterprises. And the one project that we have approved is a non-profit organization. The next slide. Chair, the one element that we are supporting as a department, as a branch, is localization. So from the approval that we have made, especially under the automotive sector, they projected to support local procurement of 45.1 billion. So of this 45.1 billion, projected local procurement from the 45.1 billion is under the automotive sector of the local procurement that they will spend. And then the 12i projects, they've actually projected to support SMME local procurement to the value of 1.7 billion. So under the film incentives, what we supported under the companies that are actually producing in South Africa, they have actually they are projecting to spend 2.2 billion into the economy. The next slide. Chair, the next slide talks about the various sectors that we have supported from the 216 approvals that we have made. Of that, we under the industrial infrastructure, we have supported 2.6 billion that will unlock an investment of 4.2 billion. And then under agro processing, we have supported 1.9 billion, which will unlock 4.1 billion of investment. Under the steel and metal fabrication, we've supported 1.2 billion, which will unlock 6.4 billion of investment under this sector. Under the automotive, we have approved 785 million, which will unlock 3 billion of investment. Under the mineral beneficiation, we've approved 640 million, which will unlock 2.5 billion of investment. The next slide. Also, the sector spread of the approval under the chemical and plastic, we have approved 353 million, which will unlock 1.1 billion. Under the health economy, we've approved 283 million, which will unlock 539 million of investment. Under the high-tech sectors, we have approved 94 million, which will unlock 169 million of investment. Under the renewal and green economy, we've approved 94 million, which will unlock 71 million. Under the clothing and textile, we've approved 6 million, which will unlock 22 million of investment. Under the pharmaceutical, we've approved 16 million, that will unlock 20 million of investment. Under the GBA, the business process services, we've approved 89 million, which will unlock 5.4 billion of export revenue. And then under the creative industry, we have approved 583 million, which will unlock 2.2 billion of investment. The next slide. Chair, for this current period, Chair, what we have struggled with is that we don't have any project that we've approved in the Northern Cape. And I just want to state that because of COVID and also because of some of the projects that were struggling to actually comply, for the current period, we are actually working with our DFIs to find projects in all provinces, including the Northern Cape. So in terms of the provincial spread, for the period, in Northwest Province, we've approved projects to the value of 40 million. In Mpumalanga, we've approved projects to the value of 40 million as well. In Limpopo, we've approved the projects to the value of 85 million. So what we are encountering is that most of the projects that we are seeing, we're still seeing from Gauteng, Western Cape, KZN, and the Eastern Cape. We are still struggling with projects, especially from the rural areas of the country. In Gauteng, we've approved projects to the value of 4.1 billion. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have approved projects to the value of 3.1 billion. In Western Cape, we've approved projects to the value of 527 million. In Free State, we've approved projects to the value of 26 million. In Eastern Cape, we've approved projects to the value of 838 million. The next slide. In this slide, Chair, these are the projects that we've approved in various districts. The emphasis that we are also making is that we are also trying to attract projects in the rural area, especially in the provinces where they've got largely rural. So from the Eastern Cape, the Amatole district, which is largely rural, we've approved 20 million. With a projected investment of 465. So the total project that we approved in Eastern Cape will create jobs, will support jobs of over 3,000. So they are in four district municipalities. In the Free State, we've approved projects in two municipalities, which is the Mangaung and Thabo Mofutsanyana, to the total value of 26 million. In Gauteng, which is largely urban, the projects are in Ekurhuleni, city of Joburg, city of Tshwane, and Sidibeng district. In KwaZulu-Natal, we approved in five district municipalities, which is Ethekwini, Ilembe, King Ketuayo, Ugu, and Umgungundlovu. In Limpopo, we've approved in four district municipalities, which is Capricorn, Skukuni, Vembe, and Waterberg. In Mpumalanga, it's Ehlanzeni district and Gangala. In Northwest, it's two district municipalities, which is Bojanala and Ngakamudiri Molewa. In Western Cape, it's in the city of Cape Town as well as the West Coast. When we were doing this report, what we've realized was that there are districts where we do not have any project. So out of the 52 districts, these are the district municipalities where we have approved projects. So our approach for the next financial year and the current one is to locate projects in the district that we don't have. So the next time when we come, we want to have at least projects that we would have approved in all the districts, especially in the rural areas. The next slide. Part of the program of industrial parks revitalization is to encourage the contractors that are working within the areas, especially in the rural areas, to revitalize, to also utilize the SMMEs within where they are actually developing that infrastructure. So far, we have spent over 500 million for revitalization of industrial park, of which they have subcontracted 69 SMMEs to the value of 60.1 million. So one of the key things, Chair, that we measure with the revitalization is to unlock economic activities within those areas that these industrial parks are located. So what we encourage them is that they must also work together with the local SMMEs, because they have to, in a way, to assist SMMEs to be able to benefit from this program. So in 2018, from 2018 to date, we've supported 601 youth jobs under the industrial park projects. We've also supported 295 female jobs. So the total jobs that we have supported under the industrial parks is 2,272. The next slide. Chair, one of the key issues is to promote strong and inclusive economy through ownership and SMME. So for the current period, for the current reporting period, we have approved 111 black-owned enterprises and black industrialists. We've approved 43 women-owned enterprises. We've approved 20 youth-owned enterprises. We have approved 84 SMMEs. So also part of the approval, we've also approved 17 women-empowered enterprises, 6 youth-empowered enterprises, and then 40 of which is the SPV under the film and TV production. So of the 216, 20 were black industrialists, 11 were black emerging filmmakers, 7 were black emerging aquaculture farmers. So from the total approvals of 216, Chair, 88% of the approvals are between on triple BEE level 1 and 4. Then 5% they are on triple BEE level 5 to 7. And 7% they are on triple BEE level 8. So what we are also pushing, Chair, is that we want to at least make sure that we achieve the all the objective, including supporting the transformed enterprises as well as supporting the groups that are the designated group. Still last year, Chair, what we have established in partnership with the National Empowerment Fund is the Women Empowerment Fund. The reason for that, Chair, we wanted to just look to say what are the challenges and what are some of the projects that are women-owned that are facing in terms of the financial assistance. So this fund is administered as a loan, which is blended with the facility of the NEF at an interest rate of 2%. The other program that we have also launched as a loan component is the Black Business Manufacturers Fund, which is also administered in partnership with the National Empowerment Fund. The next slide. Chair, one of the elements I think that may have affected us during 2020, it's COVID related, and one of the key things is that most of the businesses and most of the enterprises and the potential beneficiaries of incentives, they were affected in some way. Firstly, most of the companies during level 5, they were actually threatened with business continuity because they were not operational. However, the GBS clients, they were able to service their client because they were selected as essential services. Then some of them, because of the international and national travel restriction, a lot of export exhibition and then export marketing of their product for emerging exporters could not be undertaken. So from the branch, we revised the guidelines to accommodate the visual exhibition. Then also, we also had a delays in terms of investment, and that actually impacted in terms of companies submitting applications and some of the film producers being able to continue with their production. So therefore, what we had done is to actually give the film sector an extension of 6 months to allow them to be able to catch up on the time that they've lost to meet the deadline. Other challenges is with regard to the submission of hard copies. Chair, for this branch, we were operational throughout 2020 and 2021. Given that we were supporting most of the enterprises. However, we had to then change the way we are operating. Under normal circumstances, the companies will drop applications. Then we had to then adopt some technology that will assist us with business continuity. And then some of the challenges is the liquidity constraints, which then because of the economic condition, the companies were not able to be liquid enough. So hence, then we had introduced the loan component of the various with IDC and NEF. The next slide. Chair, one of the program that we have given when 2020 was 2020 COVID started was the branch has had reprioritized funds to assist with regard to the COVID fund as well as the economic distress. These two facilities were administered. The COVID fund was administered to support the manufacturers and suppliers of medical products. This program was announced in March 2020, given the shortage of the medical supply that the country had encountered. So it was launched as a loan component administered by NEF and IDC. Then later during the year, we then reprioritized a further 500 million to set up the economic distress fund to support enterprises to mitigate the challenges that they've been that have been caused by the COVID lockdown and other issues related to the economy at the time. So these programs, Chair, the COVID fund, because of the economy being back and we no longer have a shortage of the medical supply, it has been temporarily closed. Under this program, the NEF approved 32 transactions. The IDC approved 15 transactions. And the economic distress is still continuing because a lot of companies still require support given that they haven't recovered from COVID. So IDC has approved one, the NEF have approved five for the reporting period, Chair. The next slide. Chair, part of the branch, we also support innovative research and prototypes through the programs of TRIP and SPI. Some of the examples of the research that we have approved under TRIP are in the aquaculture and agro-processing space, plastics and pharmaceutical space, steel industry, the clothing and textile. We supported the research that assists diabetic patients to walk better by developing footwear from green and smart material. On the aviation also, we supported the research and then the green and energy saving. From the prototypes under the SPI, we supported the machinery to produce nanofiber. We supported hydraulic hybrid propulsion system. We've also supported optimizing web-based services for mobile devices in a timely manner. We've also supported the integrated monitoring and reporting system targeted at the mining industry. We also supported the multi-track stope drill rig with the tele-remote stand of control. These are some of the examples that we are supporting that we have approved to support innovation and also make sure that the country's got the innovative capability and products that are coming into the market. The next slide. In terms of the disbursement, Chair, this disbursement excludes some of the payments that we would have made as a transfer to the entities. We have disbursed for that period 3.9 billion to various enterprises. Through this disbursement for 2020-2021, we have actually achieved actual investment of 16.2 billion, which has supported new direct jobs of 27,586. So then also under construction, there's just an error, Chair, on that. The one that says new is actually construction jobs, is 2,396. So this disbursement has actually supported the retention of 37,000 jobs. So of the supported companies that from the disbursement, 22 billion of the under the automotive and black industrialists is the local procurement that have been supported. And then the local procurement from SMME under the 12R is 1.7 billion. And then the local production spend under the film sector is 417 million. So the net export, Chair, that we have achieved for the period under the AIS and other program, including the global business services, is over 30 billion. The next slide. Chair, from the actual jobs that we have actually supported with the disbursement, 27,000 is the direct jobs, like I've mentioned. 2,396 is construction. Then we retained 37,000. Of these jobs, 34,393, which is 51%, is the jobs for black people. Then females is 21,374. The youth is 33,701. We're still struggling in terms of the group of people with disability. For this period, is only 1%, which is 394. The next slide. Chair, one of the program is the industrial infrastructure that we support through the various special economic zones, with the recent one being the Tshwane Automotive SEZ. So from 2016 to date, we have disbursed to a total value of 7.4 billion, which has unlocked 19.6 billion. So from this SEZ, we have actually supported, they are employing over 14,978. Chair, for this one, under the branch, we support the bulk infrastructure within the zone. We support the top structure for the zone to attract investors for occupation. The next slide. Okay. Chair, these are also some of the examples of the project. Normally, when we do the annual incentive report, the committee will recall that we publish the beneficiaries at the back of the report. Because of the POPI law, we had to ask permission for the ones that we are showing as an example of what we have supported. It's not all of them. The current report will not show the list because some of the client did not give us permission. So then these are the ones that then allowed us to showcase them as example of projects that we have supported. So the report will then be circulated to the members. The more examples of the project will be inside the report. I think, Chair, this brings us to the end of the presentation. I'd like to take this opportunity and thank you, Chair, and the members for allowing me to present. Thanks.
Thank you very much, committee members, PC committee members. There is the presentation. I now open the platform for you to engage by show of hands, please. I see Honourable Thring. I think you can proceed, Honourable Thring, Honourable Malemecha. I think we can start. We'll take other hands as we go. Honourable Thring.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think my questions. Firstly, let me just say thank you for the presentation. I think clearly South Africa has a lot of work to do, particularly with regards to one of the key goals for DTIT, and which is to drive industrialization in South Africa. But this leads to my first concern, and that is that a failure to turn South Africa into what we really want it to be, and that is a nation that is industrialized and produced.
We are not, you know, yesterday.
COO, please mute. Continue, Honourable Thring.
So, Chair, despite the investment of over 3 billion with the return of investment, that's with regards to industrialization, and a return of investment of 16 billion creating some just over 2,300 jobs. You know, the creation of 2,300 jobs with an unemployment rate of almost 35%, 34.9% I think is currently sitting at, on the expanded definition over 40%, 70% of those unemployed are youth unemployment is rather sitting at 70%. So this creation of 2,300 jobs in the 2021 year pales in comparison, really, in terms of what is needed to reduce unemployment and to move South Africa from a consumerist nation to a producing nation. So my first question is, what is going to be done to actually ramp up the projects to ensure that South Africa achieves its goal of becoming an industrialization? And then secondly, when one looks at the amounts that have been invested in the different sectors, beneficiation, one of the key policies, beneficiation, localization, one of the key policies of DGIC and essentially also the government. But we see a minuscule, and I unfortunately just can't remember, but it's about 6 million or so, I think, that was set aside for beneficiation projects. But this particular investment on beneficiation must be increased if clearly we want to turn South Africa's economic trajectory around from with a dependence on exporting the bulk of our raw materials. And I think that one of the saving graces recently has been an increase in commodity prices, but that again just fast tracks the export of raw materials that are not beneficiated in South Africa because of the prices that we currently see in commodity prices. So there has to be a concerted effort, and about six million or so that has been set aside, or that small amount that has been set aside for beneficiation, Chair, clearly is not enough. And I think my last point is with regards to the number of projects in the different provinces. Chair, it cannot be that the strongest province, which is Gauteng, gets the bulk of the investment, 4.1 billion. The second, one of the second strongest between KZN and the Western Cape, KZN gets 3.1 billion, while one of the weakest provinces, which is the Northern Cape, and I've raised this before, the Northern Cape gets zero. Now, it cannot be that there are no projects for investment in the Northern Cape. It cannot be. Northern Cape is rich in minerals as well. Diamonds, clearly one of the things that comes to mind. So how is it then that we are not able to take some of the positives that we have in the Northern Cape and turn that around into a project? Chair, this essentially speaks to me of a lack of will, because it cannot be that our weakest province gets zero and the strongest province gets 4.1 million. Something has got to change in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
I think you mean 4.1 billion.
4.1 billion, yes. My apologies.
Okay, no, that's fine, Honorable Sitting. Honorable Malimecha?
Chair?
You need to unmute.
Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair, colleagues, and department representatives. Chair, allow me to just shoot straight to the main worry here is, with the persistent challenges of planting practices experienced in the corporate South Africa, how is the department ensuring that support and funds it gives to the black industries and other black business are not from? That will be my first one, Comrade Chair. The second one will be, in 2021, the projected jobs to be created from the investment made to support industrialization is 308. How many of these are temporary and how many are expected to be sustainable, Comrade Chairperson? And before we go, let's also hint on the COVID-19 response incentive. There is a shift in the composition of the DCCI support, particularly the shares of grant, loans, tax allowance between the 2019-2020 significantly increased between 2019-2020 and the 2020-2021 financial year. How best can the department explain this to us so that we are able to get a good. The last comment, Chairman, will be, there's often a time lag between the approval of the project and the disbursement of funds. On average, how long is the time lag and what are the factors that contribute to this? Thank you, Comrade Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Burns Ngamashe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And Chair, let me also welcome the report. Which has given us a synoptic view of what has happened during this period under our microscopic analysis. And Chair, let me appreciate the work equally that is done to deliberately make means to support the Black Industrialist Scheme, which is part of ensuring that Black people participate meaningfully in the mainstream economy of South Africa. It's part of the Black empowerment policy, which at all material times must characterize the functionality of government across departmental work. Be that as it may, Chair, exactly on the Black Industrialist Scheme, we have observed that there are 27 projects that have been cancelled, totaling to an amount of about 600 million. Perhaps the department has some information to share with us as to what are the substantial reasons for cancelling this a significant support, you know, because it would seem paradoxical. On one hand, supporting Black industrialists, on the other, cancelling such a number of projects. So can we get a sense as to what is it that has led to that? And on top of that, what measures are in place to avoid the continued cancellation of Black industrialist projects? We must say to it that we reduce this to a zero. So surely there has to be a plan, Honorable Chair. Secondly, on Industrial Finance Division, we have observed that COVID has rained havoc in a number of industries and SMMEs. Now, does the Industrial Finance Division provide post-funding support to black industrialists and SMMEs to ensure their sustainability? Because it's important, Chair, to make sure that we are deliberate in dealing with this. Again, Chair, of the approved, if we look into the approved funding for COVID-19 fund in respect of NEF and the IDC, how much was dispersed by March 2021? How much has been dispersed to date, which is February, as it were, 2022? And again, Chair, lastly, in the automotive incentive scheme, including the aquaculture development, and I'm sure Honorable Tring would appreciate the fact that if we talk about aquaculture, there's no way that we can talk about Northern Cape. Northern Cape can't be excluded, given that it is also a coastal province, to the extent that you've got the Atlantic Ocean on their side. And the enhancement program, we just need the actual investment. Our observation is that the actual investment was significantly higher than the projected investment. Of course, Chair, this should be commended, because it shows that something right has been done. And could then the department elaborate on this, so that if we do have these kind of models, how do we ensure that they have a multiplier effect? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Yaku.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't know how to actually express this to the committee and to the department. I am, however, concerned that DTIC is supposed to bolster and assist and help the economy of this country grow in terms of investment into businesses, in terms of creating job opportunities, in terms of growing our our industries, basically. However, I'm not entirely comfortable with how DTIC has been doing those disbursements, especially when it comes to investments, because we've seen quite a few scandals recently when it comes to investments into certain companies that have not generated any kind of revenue that seems to assist those particular industries. For instance, we just had a scandal now on, I don't know what, microphones. I don't know if I forget the specific name of the phones, but we've never seen them. And the DTIC was sponsoring and investing in those businesses. And secondly, when it comes to the IDZ, especially the Kuga one, I see that there are 6,000 odd jobs that have been created. However, how much of those jobs are created locally? How much are we investing locally in terms of growing those particular communities that live around, because I know that there's a lot of unemployment in North Mandela Bay. And for me, I'm concerned that we're spitting numbers at the committee and it looks like a great picture, but in reality, I'm not seeing any kind of, I'm not seeing the reality of the numbers that you speak about here. And that is my issue, that we do oversight. However, that oversight is basically on paper, black and white. We're not actually seeing directly what is happening. And it informs, when you see something physically, it makes a huge difference in how you interpret it and how real it is. Because people ask us questions and we have no real answers because we're just seeing black and white. So that is one of my concerns. I think I'll leave it there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Yaku. Honorable Motau.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. I have a few clarification questions. One, Chair, during 2018-2019 and 2019-2020 financial year of the Black Industrialist Scheme, BIC jobs were expected to be created, particularly 2,147 and 1,118 respectively. How many were actually created, and what proportion are sustainable jobs? Two, how many of industrialization programs adopted by the department supporting transformation and in particularly black-owned enterprises directly and has an impact on the township economy, at least the developed areas? Lastly, the support given to the Black Industrialist Program within the automotive sector, what proportion of this is given to the automotive after sector, and how many entrepreneurs have been supported thus far? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Motau. Honorable Moatse.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered by the latter speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moatse. Honorable Mbuyani.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Let me also welcome the presentation. It shows that the TTIC is working in terms of assisting our black industrialists. Hence, Chairperson, I just wanted to check under the chemical, it says 353 million. Does it include the gas and oxygen industry for black people? And what is the process of approving maybe NPO and NGO, and in which categories does those NPO and NGOs fall under? On the Philip, the incentive of 2.2 billion, does it include the black filmmakers with African flair? And also, I just wanted to check whether the department has any collaboration with the Department of Art and Culture in relation to the filmmakers, because there's high level of funding on that sector. I just wanted to check that, Chairperson. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, members. I see no further hands. I just want to raise, before I hand over to the department for responses, I think Honorable Sring and I were in a caucus meeting that even I don't know about, but he asked about the concentration of investment in the biggest the industrial hub of the country in Gauteng. Getting the biggest piece of the pie. So shouldn't you look at your criteria that you are using in order to disburse funds to projects, in order to make sure that you actually invest more in smaller provinces. And of course, related to that is also something raised by Honorable Thring and other members. You know, at the SONA, the President spoke about leaving no one behind. And here we get to report where a whole province has been left behind. So surely through the district development model, we should be able to invest in some projects in the province. And I think we must ask the department to come back to us, to come and give us their plan for implementing projects and funding projects through this incentive program in the Northern Cape, so that we leave no one behind. Thank you very much. I see your hand is up again, Honorable Burns. Honorable Burns Mamashe, do you have an additional question?
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And perhaps, you know, as a writer to the question that is related to industrial parks, and perhaps add also the industries in rural towns. One of the biggest challenges that we have are access roads, which in most cases they are classified as social infrastructure, yet they have a direct bearing on the economic imperative. And I argue, Chair, that roads that are linked to economic enterprises and or industrial parks should be economic infrastructure, classified as economic infrastructure. And the question then would be, what is the appetite of DTIC in respect of ensuring that those access roads are done, and perhaps through a cooperative agreement between spheres of government in the context of DTM, they are either maintained by provincial or local sphere of government. Because, Chair, what you don't want is a situation where the manufacturers or producers, for that matter, they produce high quality product, but by the time it gets to the markets or to the point of distribution, those products are compromised in terms of their grading owing to bad road infrastructure. And sometimes I have a classical example of a sawmill in the Eastern Cape where if the delivery of logs is done during a rainy period, trucks are unable to travel. And some of those are supposed to be exported. You can imagine the implication of those in terms of our trade processes. So I would want to get that. And lastly, Chair, we have industrial parks like Butterworth in the Eastern Cape, Dimbaza. And my question would be, what is it that is being done about those? Because if we are serious about creating jobs, revitalizing industries, surely something has to be done to ensure that those industrial parks are revitalized and they are up and running once again. And part of that, we must ensure that there is reliable supply of water as well as energy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Burns Mamashe. Can I then hand over to the Acting Director General, Susan Mangale, for responses to you and your team?
Thanks. Thank you, Chair, and thanks to honorable members for the questions that they posed. Chair, I'm going to try and answer them all, and I'll call on my colleagues to come in. But I want to start with the very last one of Honorable Namashe about the economic infrastructure versus the social infrastructure. We do have the critical infrastructure program, members, that we support infrastructure such as road, water, to unlock economic activities. Under that program, we actually partner with the municipality. If it's a municipality applying, like for instance, I'll take in Limpopo, the recent approval, it was in Giyani, Nkuza Shopping Center. So in that particular mall, the municipality, Collins Chaban Municipality, was an applicant. But then that approval unlocked over 1.2 billion of investment. That approval goes towards fixing the road, get the water facility, building the electrical facility. So we are working, we amended the program to work closely with municipalities in the rural areas. So that particular program, it's targeting those districts and the municipalities that do not have the capacity like the ones that we see in the urban areas. So municipalities get 100% support. So their responsibility, it will be to actually maintain the infrastructure after we have supported it. So that particular application, they can apply. If, for instance, from the honorable member saying that there's a shopping center that will be built, obviously they will need water, they will need the road, they will need the electricity, they will also need the fiber. So the municipality within that particular district can apply under the critical infrastructure. They will then get support. So that's a program that we amended to actually support the district development model, because in almost all the municipalities you will find either a shopping center, there's some economic activities that are taking place. So how we play in terms of bringing that the critical infrastructure that actually unlock the economic activities. So Chair, I thought let me start with that one. And again also in terms of the localization, the first question from Honorable Spring, what we are working on, the projects under beneficiation, they are very low. But what we are working on in this current financial year is that we are amending guidelines that we are going to be using to support various, to actually support various SMME in terms of localization. So I think with 2020, Chair, and 2021, it has been quite challenging in terms of receiving applications, especially from the local companies and the enterprises. Firstly, the incentives are being given as a cost sharing or reimbursable. So when the company apply to us, they need to go and then raise the money to be able to partner with us. Then the period that they take to raise the money is the period that we have to carry that liability. However, it is limited, so hence then you will see that we will cancel. But also another element that actually impacted on applications coming through, most of the machineries, because we do support machinery and equipment, they were coming from outside. So a lot of the companies that would have put applications, they still need to order machines from outside. So the time that it has taken them to be able to get the suppliers of the machines to respond is the one that impacted on that. So I think with regard to Northern Cape, Chair, we do take the point. We also working with the provincial economic development. We do have some projects on the pipeline that also include the beneficiation one as well as the one under the green economy. So those are the projects that we are currently packaging that we will then start to support. But we are also working with the NEF and IDC to be able to identify the SMMEs that require support that we can actually support. So we will continue with those ones. We do receive applications. I think we need to work very hard on our side to be able to assist them to understand the issue of compliance. With regard to the issue of the BEE and the fronting, I think one of the elements I think that Honorable Member has raised is that how do we then make sure that there is no level of fronting. With BEE, Chair, you have to be in a particular level when you apply as well as when you claim. So normally you will apply and be given a period of about 2 years to be able to go and spend and come back and claim. So we do that verification in terms of the ownership, in terms of if you say you have procured from black owned, you do verify that. The only challenge that you are facing is that, and I think it goes back to the issue of saying why we have cancellation, some of the cancellation within the black industries. A lot of companies, they will then apply being on a particular shareholding, let's say they are 60% black owned. When they come claim stage, they have dropped that ownership to below 50%. So they no longer qualify as a black industrialist. Similarly with the ones that apply that are being on level 4. So you need to maintain that particular level for a period of an incentive. So we check it at the application to say you are on level 4. You provide us your audited financials. You also provide us with a supporting shareholder agreement. When you come and claim, then we also verify that. But then because of the period, most of the companies that where we reject claims or where we pick up challenges is that they would have changed their ownership or they would have dropped. So I think in that way, we're working with the verification agency. We do have our verification auditors that go and verify that to make sure that there is no element of fronting. And with regard to the shift from more loans to grant, the Honorable Member raised a concern to say that for the past 2 years there have been a shift from the grants to the loan. The risk that we are facing with the grant, and I think the reason we also partner with the likes of NEF, and nowadays we're having an engagement with the banks, is that the grant is not payable, and I think one of the elements of trying to mitigate the fraud risk is that we have to be able to verify the goods that the client has actually bought, the machinery, and the jobs that they said they created. So the partnership with the DFIs and the bank is to also encourage them to acknowledge our approval. Most of the incentives is cost sharing. If the machine costs 50 million, the client will have to raise 25 million with the DFI and then to be able to access 25 million, which will be cost sharing. So, but then because the DFIs, they also had challenges. The reason we worked with them closely to encourage the loan is to be able to allow, especially for black industrialists, we have opened the MSEP program in the IDC for black industrialists to be able to get the loan there. So that partnership is to be able to make sure that projects reach full financial closure. Because most of them, you'll find that we've approved them, they're struggling to raise the capital. Similarly with the banks, we are saying to them to say, with the banks, the client will have to raise the full amount to be able to come and claim. So it is in the nature of the incentives that it actually be blended with the loan, hence the relationship. However, some of the loans that the DFIs are actually offering, they are offering them at prime plus or at prime. So the facility of the loans that we are opening with any FNIDC, they are coming to up to 2% interest rate, which then gives the relief to the companies to be able to access incentives. So we were doing that to be able to open up, because I think the issue of access to finance for a lot of enterprises has been a challenge. So the partnership between us, the banks, and the DFIs in terms of unlocking the loan facilities for various companies is what we have actually started working with from the past 2 years. Chair, the other question is, how long does it take to between approval and claim? When a company submits an application, it has to be fully compliant. Our committed turnaround time, Chair, is 60 days. However, with COVID, and I think the challenges of COVID made us taking a bit longer. But also companies, they don't submit all the documents. Once the documents are submitted, they're actually complying, we are verifying them, then we're taking them to the next meeting. So the time that normally takes is when the company submits incomplete applications or does not submit all the supporting information. Similarly with the claims, when we receive a claim with all supporting documents and then it comply, we dispatch an inspector to go and inspect, or the verification auditor to go and verify, then we are able to pay. So with the claims, with all the documents and the supporting documents and the fully completed claim form, we take up to 30 days. So that's how long. However, between approval and disbursement, it may take up to 2 years, because when the company apply, they still need to go and raise the cost-sharing money or the capital to be able to implement the project. With regard to the cancellation of the BI projects, Chair, I think with COVID, what we've seen is that most of the projects struggled to reach financial closure. Financial closure in terms of because the incentive is not 100%, it's actually up to 50%. So the company still need to raise the other part of the 50%. So that's the part. So it takes them long. So hence, then we have to cancel them until such time they have found, they are able to raise the money and then come back. That's the first issue. The second issue, it will be in cases where the company changed the ownership. They are applying as a 51% Black-owned company, and then when they come back, they are actually lower than that. Obviously, in those cases, we will actually cancel them. And then the third element is with regard to most of the companies had ordered the machines overseas, but because of the lockdown restriction of various countries, it took long for them to get those machines. So hence, it then took long for them to start implementing those projects. So that's one of the key elements. So what we are working with, the Black Industrialist Program, we are actually implementing it with various DFIs, which include IDC, NEF, to be able to offer the post-investment support, as well as to also offer other support that the BIs can actually that the BIs will need post-approval to make sure that they are not being cancelled. With regard to the COVID fund, Chair, the COVID fund was actually implemented as a loan facility. The COVID fund was strictly for essential medical products required to combat the spread of COVID. So under that program, what we have seen when both NEF and IDC approve is that once the company because it's a revolving credit, the companies, they're able to draw down and they're also be able to then repay quicker. So to date, Chair, in terms of the disbursement, the program became fully, it's actually fully subscribed. So we have disbursed 138 million. However, for the ones that are, that have been approved, because it's a revolving credit, it's as in when they need that type of support. So that will be over and above the 138 million that we will disperse, that companies will then come and request like sort of another access to credit. Chair, the one element is that the Honorable Leako asked was with regard to Goga in terms of the number of jobs that are being, that have been created there. That information, Chair, we will check to say how many of those jobs are locals within the region. Chair, what we are encouraging, like I've mentioned, with regard to industrial park, we are encouraging companies to localize jobs, including the subcontracting. If a company come as a big construction company, they are in the rural area to construct. We actually give them a target to actually subcontract the local SMMEs. We're working with various zones to encourage them to say part of the construction jobs and some of the jobs that have been created, they have to create a link with the local communities and inform them. So in most of them, like in Tshwane, they will have the community liaison. In Richards Bay, they will have the community liaison. So when the jobs opening comes in, they then give them they inform the community. They are also assisting them in terms of these are the database of jobs that we have, so that they can access that. But also encouraging the investors and the contractors that you need to also employ the locals. So with the Kuha Wanche, we will provide that information in terms of the locals. But I can say that majority of those jobs will be for people that are staying around. The one element is with regard to the how do we support township and rural entrepreneurs. Chair, I think currently under our program, we actually support the under the critical infrastructure, we are supporting projects in the rural areas. Also under the APSS, we do encourage. With regard to the township, we are also working with the local and the provincial economic development to be able to assist the businesses in the township and rural areas. So that's one of the elements that for this current financial year, we will be looking at reviewing some of the incentive guidelines to actually favor the enterprises within the township and the rural communities. So, Chair, I think I'm going to pause it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Any follow-up questions, members? Are you satisfied with the responses from the department? If so, then we can conclude. Thank you. I see Honorable Mbiani has a follow-up question. Honorable Mbiani.
Yeah, Chairperson, thanks, ma'am. But I think mine was not responded to, the issue of collaboration with the Department of Art and Culture in terms of allocation the film industry, in terms of black industries, because there's a lot of fronting happening. I just wanted to check, yes, I know there are DFIs, they're assisting in terms of finance, but how they link with the departments that they deal with the issues of the film industry and art on a daily basis. I think that will be the last one. Chair, also the issue of enterprise development program. In terms of double dipping, I don't know whether they know that there's this issue of double dipping as much as they are cooperative in terms of industrial co-funding. But I just want to check whether they understand the issue of double dipping, that each enterprise can get more than one support from the department. The other one that is not responded to, Chairperson, is the issue of The black industrialist. No, but this one is fine. No, 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 I can live with it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Can I go back to the department for a response?
Okay, Mr. Benson, I'm also
sorry?
Mr. Benson, I'm
okay. Yes, I see. Before the department.
Yes.
Honorable Burns Mamashu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether Acting DDG did respond to the question around Dimbaza and Butterworth, respectively, as industrial parks in terms of their revitalization. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Malameja.
No, thank you, Chair. Mine is just exactly what the deputy was trying to deal with, the issue of the subbies, the subcontractors. As earlier on, I indicated the issue of the persistence of the fronting in the all sector. At what point does the department try their level best and check that these investors are not using one and the same subcontractor to block other subcontractors? Because in many cases, you find that when it's coming to that level of subbing, giving the subcontractors, it's one subcontractor, all townships. This is done intentionally to ensure that they block other people. At what point does this person, after being a subcontractor, if we are really going to avoid fronting, it get increased, it get improved, and given to a certain level, absorbed by the very same bigger companies, so that going forward we are knowing that we are multiplying in this industry. Meaning that, if you have to put it in simple terms, X was a subcontractor of WBHO for this year, they've absorbed this person, is no longer a subcontractor, a contractor, they've done everything at the support of the department to ensure that now it's on its own. Now we are going to Louis, or we are going to Mary, who become and get the same status, because if we are not careful, there is fronting in a form of utilization of one and same contractor just to acquire funds and status. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Over to the department, Ms. Mangole.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies, I missed the one of the film, our partnership with Arts and Culture. Honorable Mbuyani, we do have the Department of Arts and Culture serving in our adjudication committee for film. We also have the NAVF serving under that program, under the adjudication, as well as SARS and SABC. So we are working closely with the Department of Arts and Culture. They are also our key stakeholders in terms of dealing with the issue of transformation. So we are currently contributing to the creative master plan that the department is actually developing. So one element is that what we do is that we're also building a database of saying how do we then verify to ensure that we're supporting emerging black filmmakers. Yes, I do agree with you that there may be elements of, I think we're struggling with transformation for the sector, but since we have launched the emerging black filmmakers, we are seeing that we are encouraged by the uptake from the black film producers that are actually applying. So we are working very closely with the Department of Arts and Culture for this particular sector to ensure that it's actually transformed, and also to avoid the element of fronting. And with regard to the double dipping and the enterprise development, the reason we actually check with other entities of the state is that we do not want to fund the machine that has been funded by another program. Our process of verifying the expenditure goes to the extent of checking who is the source. If you have received another grant funding, obviously you're not going to receive another grant funding. So hence, we are developing this close relationship with the DFIs together with other financial institutions to make sure that the grant, we don't have the element of double dipping.
With regard to Dimbaza and Butterworth, I think Honourable Member, I may need to come back with, in terms of the details, but I'm just going to give the background of saying that we have actually we have revitalized Dimbaza. I think I don't have the figures now of how much we have spent, as well as Butterworth. The challenges that we are having and that we normally face when the Auditor General go and verify is that the infrastructure is actually vandalized. So every time, every year, we need to explain to the AG to say, how are you going to make sure that the infrastructure is not vandalized after revitalizing? So we're working closely with the provinces that to make sure that they secure the infrastructure, especially after revitalization. So I will request that I get back in terms of the details of how much we have already spent for the revitalization of both Dimbaza and Butterworth. The issue of subcontracting, Honourable Member, we have noted that it's something that when we started with the infrastructure program, we encouraged the big construction companies to subcontract from the SMME. We are closely monitoring it through our various SEZ. We will actually bring that to their attention to say what type of support are they going to provide to these SMMEs to avoid issues of fronting, to also avoid the issues of always being a subcontract. At what level do they then qualify to be the main contractor? So we will closely monitor it. Chair, back to the issue of Northern Cape, for the 2021-2022, we have approved projects to the value of 639 million. So we also working to revitalize an industrial park that will be located various SMME. But that information will then be provided to the committee when we come for the 2021-2022. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. It's very encouraging to hear that Northern Cape has not been left behind, that your work is continuing. It's very gratifying to hear that. So that concludes the presentation. Thank you very much to the members for your participation and robust interrogation of the report. I think there are a few, one or two items on which the department can respond to the committee in writing. Other than that, thank you very much for the report, and we look forward to the next time you come to us, and that things would have significantly improved as far as the economic status of the country is concerned, through the efforts of the incentive program of the DTIC. Thank you very much. I see there's a message from Honourable McPherson to be excused. Honourable McPherson, you are excused. Thanks for letting us know that you're leaving the platform. Can I check what's the next item on the agenda, Secretary?
The last item was your concluding remarks, Chair.
Okay.
So we are done. Yeah,
Chair. I've already concluded. So
yeah.
If you can just speak to us about our next meeting.
Our next meeting is tomorrow. We will get a status report from the SIU on the investigations in two allegations of corruption and maladministration at the NLC, Chair.
Thank you very much. With that, can I declare the meeting closed, and thank you very much for your participation and attendance. Thank you. Have a good day further.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye. Thank you, Chair. Bye.